Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and hey ho for Halloween. We're going to do the Witch's Waltz and March of the Zombies while we collect dem dry bones. In a dark, dark wood, Mr. Nobody has his oranges and lemons with Count Dracula. While ghosts are very frightening, so are the boogeyman, Old Jack Frost, three blind mice, and a werewolf's take. Mary, Mary, Very Scary also comes to mind, but she ran off with Creepo the Clown.
Creepo?
Row, row, row your boat. Joining us today are the usual Wee Willy Winkies, including Kevin Swamp Monster Jaeger.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
Kimberly, our game master of the dead and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Okay.
And all those were from an album called Hey Ho for Halloween, 32 creepy songs and spooky sound effects for seriously scary kids, 2 exclamation points.
You just found that on like iTunes or Googled it?
Yep, and I took
Wait,
all,
what?
I looked for like Halloween songs, and that came up, and I was like, these are silly. I'm using these.
I was like, Creepo the Clown?
Yeah, I don't know. And Row, Row, Row Your Boat is on there.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
that could be scary.
Like Halloween?
It could be scary if it's like, you know, like little kids sing like the Rocks of Roses, or what is that song?
Ashes. Yeah.
Ring
ashes.
Around the Rosie.
Thank you. I don't know why I said Rocks of Roses.
Well, with us today is a returning guest.
Yay!
He's the founder and logo and mascot and tour guide extraordinaire for Broadway Up Close.
The founder and logo.
Sure. Yeah.
Which I just learned today. I didn't realize that that's you.
As the cartoon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
That's you.
I don't have any sort of ego, which is good.
Yeah, it's just like giant, jacked guy.
Me. Yeah, exactly. No facial hair. Yeah. Ripped. Yeah. I don't know why I didn't think it was me.
Their tours are amazing, and now they have a booth in Times Square.
A booth?
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about. That's nuts.
Thank you.
You should use the word kiosk because it's fancier.
Yeah, or gift shop.
Right, booth is a theater.
Yeah,
you have a kiosk.
Correct.
Yes. Right.
And an Instagrammable sign.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's
absolutely.
Give a big, broad-waisted welcome to returning friend of the show.
Returning friend of the show.
Tim, the tour guide.
Y'all ready for tours?
Oh, I was going to say something. Yeah, you got okay. You can follow at Broadway Up Close.
Yeah.
I'm on social media. Mm-hmm. But let us start with what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
I think Kevin and I are both doing the Milagro tequila.
We are.
The silver standard. Yep. I put a little club soda in mine.
Oh, I did.
Seltzer.
I'm just drinking it straight. I was going to put Coca-Cola in it, but I think that's gross, right?
Not if you like it.
Tequila and Coke, is that gross?
Not a thing, but.
No.
Try it.
Yeah, try it.
Okay.
Yeah.
While he's pouring that, what are you all drinking?
I have Bombay and tonic and bitters.
Right.
Because I don't drink anything else apparently these days.
Yeah.
Great.
I feel like we've all had the same drinks for like.
We really have.
What did
in
you
your
call
ears
it?
Months.
Classy vodka?
Gin?
Is that what you called
oh,
it?
Oh, I did just call it something.
Yeah, something like that.
Like flower vodka or something.
I don't remember.
I think I just called it classy vodka.
Vapor infused is what it says.
Oh, the vapors.
I'm doing a Jack and Coke. Very classy.
Holla.
Cheers.
Yes. Cheers.
Cheers.
Well, thanks for taking the time away from here. We actually eat live from the kiosk. No.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be funny.
Hey, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
But we're excited to kind of, you know, talk a little bit of spooky things. It is Halloween.
Sure.
Or it's going to be Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what... we always start with a returning guest with something very exciting.
Okay.
Oh, I love this.
And this is Would You Rather.
Yeah.
Oh,
Would You Rather.
But from an elementary school.
Yep.
Oh, gosh.
I pulled, this is from different ones from different elementary schools.
Oh, this is real?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
so
great.
I've got
some. Is it Halloween themed?
It is Halloween themed.
Okay, great.
Okay. Tim, are you ready?
I'd expect nothing less. Yes. Yeah.
Would you rather walk through a cemetery alone in the dark or stay in a haunted house by yourself.
Nope. Cemetery for sure. Okay. I don't like haunted houses.
But you've been in enough haunted spaces.
Sure, lots of haunted spaces.
But you don't want to sleep over.
Yeah, and there's no like person like there on purpose, like there to make me like crap my pants. It's like totally. A theater, you're like, I don't know what's gonna happen. This, you're like, you're here, I paid you money to scare me. I don't know why we did this. No, I don't like haunted houses. Cemetery for the win.
Would you rather see a scary movie by yourself or read a spooky story while camping alone?
Skip movie for sure.
Alone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. These elementary school kids do.
Yeah. Who's like camping alone and is like, I'm glad I brought the spooky story.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I'm 12.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with movie just yeah. for
like,
sure.
You would rather do that instead of watch a movie in your own apartment with the door locked? Like,
yeah.
Oh, I was picturing just you alone in a movie theater.
Either way, there's doors.
I mean, that sounds great.
Camping, there's zero doors.
Do you have a favorite scary movie?
Zippy doors.
I love Scream.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just because it really got, like, I remember the first time I watched it, my brother was like, it's the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. And he was probably like 16. So I was like 11.
Totally, yeah.
And I remember my grandparents were babysitting, which they never did. But so, fun fact, they were visiting and babysitting. And they were like, let's watch this. Dave said it was good. And it started, and I just remember sitting there, my heart was pounding. And they were like, what's your favorite scary movie? I was like, turn it off. And I only made it till like Drew Barrymore was like, dragged through
five
lawn.
Minutes.
Yeah.
And then I was like, maybe we're going to turn this off. And we did.
You started Scream 2.
Truly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly.
So I...
Last 10 minutes of each of the movies.
Correct. I eventually watched the whole thing, but my first outing was only the first.
Are you normally a scary movie person?
Yes and no. It doesn't.
You can go for one, but you're not like, let's watch a scary movie tonight.
Yeah, I don't love Halloween, but I don't love the movie Halloween, Michael Myers, but.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was like, well, our guest hates Halloween on the Halloween episode. Kevin, what's your favorite scary movie?
Ooh.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Honestly, it's probably, what was the movie that was with Jim and his real-life British wife?
Oh, A Quiet Place?
Yes. A Quiet Place might be my favorite. That movie was so good.
And his real-life British wife?
That's how I described
Jim.
Emily Blunt. And John Krasinski.
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
That movie's so good.
Kimberly?
Oh, also Scream.
Because
I remember watching it with my sister, and I've like... bore through it because I was like 12 and I was like, I can watch this.
Yeah.
And then we were staying at like, it wasn't Airbnb then, I'm sure, because we were 12, but like we had rented a condo in Hawaii.
Sure.
And like they had all three screens.
Really?
And so me and my sister, my parents went on a date and we watched all of them by ourselves alone in a creepy condo in Hawaii.
They went on a very long date for three films to happen.
Maybe it was like,
I love how you dropped. I love how you dropped, like, well, we were on vacation in a private condo in Hawaii.
Yeah, I don't know what you call that. We just called it a mansion, but now you're like, oh, really? I was already 12. Like, we were really slumming it.
It was decorated very strange. Like, I remember it because like the movie room was decorated like with like dark woods and like reds and like creepy.
This girl just said movie
room.
Correct.
I was
like, all of you can push the little 15 seconds back button and hear that again.
She's like, am I in the woods or am I in my own movie room? It's a real toss up here.
There were no woods. There was beach.
All right, Brian, bring on some more amazing questions.
Movie?
Oh, yeah, what's yours?
It's not my favorite, but the first time I saw The Exorcist, it just shook me.
Which
one? I
can't
watch that.
The original?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when she comes down the stairs.
I also don't think I've ever seen
I don't like it.
Halloween or any of the Friday the 13th movies.
I haven't seen any of those either. I wasn't a big horror person myself.
I don't like the old horror ones.
Well, you're
ones.
Scaring
Somehow
me.
Scarier.
That's all, yeah.
It's like any horror movie, like before the night, like before Scream, is just scarier because it's like...
Yeah, like
because it really happened.
Yeah. And like I like Scream as a slasher movie because it kind of like there's like a
meta.
Yes, absolutely. But like normal slasher movies, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. Like I don't need to see all that.
Scream is kind of funny with the whole like these are the rules of the and he goes over the rules and stuff.
It's like that perfect balance of like making fun of everything before but also creating something new.
Mm-hmm. But also the summer camp I went to is where they filmed one of the Friday the 13th movies.
Oh sure,
nope.
And, like, that's what the counselors would always tell us, like, around the campfire when it was, like, ghost story
Oh, you
time.
Didn't go camping by yourself and read a scary story?
No, I went to a YMCA-sanctioned camp.
Right. Ooh.
All right.
But there was one cabin that was closed and no one was allowed in.
Oh. Because they were still filming.
Or the counselors
were like, in 2002.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Like, yeah. I'm sure it was just like counselor, they didn't fill it that summer. Yeah.
All right, Tim. Would you rather eat a plate full of worms or eat a mystery meat?
Ooh.
Remember, this is for elementary school children.
Yeah, mystery meat. I'm going to go with mystery meat.
So not knowing what kind of the meat is, how long it's been out, whatever, is more appetizing.
Oh, see, I wasn't thinking it had to do with like the quality of the meat, if it was spoiled or not. I thought it was more like
liver.
It could be lamb.
Or it could be like a person.
Yeah.
Well, but based on this, everything about it is a mystery.
But at least I'm picturing it being cooked well.
Correct.
Regardless of what it is.
It's a nice medium rare.
Exactly. Yeah. You can salt and pepper it.
And worms, it's like, I'd rather just plug my nose and be like, I don't know what this is, as opposed to like, I know these are worms and I'm going to eat them.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
All right, this one's weird.
Okay.
They all are
so normal. So
meet a vampire at midnight.
Okay.
Or meet Dracula in an empty school building.
At midnight is an extenuation.
At midnight could be anywhere, but specifically Dracula is in a school.
Meet a vampire at midnight.
Yep.
Or meet
for
Dracula,
like
also a vampire.
In an empty school.
So you're meeting a vampire.
Regardless, it's
one of
vampire.
Them just has a specific schedule.
Realistically, this could be the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a circle is always a rectangle is a square. A square is not a rectangle.
But he also could be like, you meet Dracula at like 3 p.m. in the school. And he's like hiding in a closet and he's like, don't let the light in.
Yeah.
And then you have the upper hand.
Without the time, we're going to have to go with Dracula.
What are you meeting them for?
It doesn't
say. Like, meet them at midnight. And I was like, for a scheduled event that you
That's true. You could be like, you know,
you
here's
met
some
on
blood.
Tinder,
Netflix
you want
and chill.
Bowling.
Yeah.
Netflix and chill. That was my
Kevin.
Vampire voice.
Was there a vampire in it?
I mean, it was my Dracula voice. I was like, I was being
Now do your vampire voice.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't have one.
Turns out it's the same.
We got two more.
Okay.
Sleep one night in a coffin.
No.
Or sleep in an abandoned home all week for all alone.
Sweeps what?
All right, so you're either going to sleep one night in a coffin or spend a week in an abandoned home all alone.
Yeah, the week for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah, confined, like the coffin presumably is closed. I'm not doing all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I don't think that I'm... also just sounds like a vacation to stay alone for a week.
Yeah, I know. Do I have to do any work emails or?
No.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're giving lots
abandoned.
Of tours.
I guess abandoned, we mean it's like creaky and spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would just probably spend the week looking up the history of the house. And
sure.
By the time the week was done, I'd have a tour of the house. I'd be like, this one's only $15. It's just a quick 45-minute tour.
And this is where I kept my toiletries.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is the last
Any
one.
Any way I can find to monetize this exercise, I will.
Right. Go to a Halloween party with your friends,
mm-hmm.
or take your little sister or brother trick-or-treating. Let's pretend you have one, like you're an older brother. And
friends. Let's pretend I have friends.
Yeah. We're pretending that one.
Yeah, okay, good.
Are you the youngest?
I'm the youngest of three. Yeah, I would go to the party. This seems like a no-brainer.
Sure.
Yeah.
Go to a party or like babysit, right?
Yeah.
You go to
pretty
a party.
Much.
If we distilled it down.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the party.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on Halloween, Would You Rather, from
Yay!
This random elementary school.
Yay!
So let's talk about your kiosk.
Sure.
So we have had the pleasure. Kevin and I saw the Ghostlight tour,
mm-hmm.
and then the three of us went on the Hippies, Doggies, and...
Hippies, Discos, and Dogs, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. tour. Tell us, since we last talked to you here, you have a kiosk now? What's that all about?
You guys are blowing up.
Yeah. I always wanted a physical presence, but a physical presence in Times Square, like, what does that mean? All the money in the world, and so...
So you're the Naked Cowboy now?
Yes, basically. Robert, as he goes by. He's
right.
Hi, I'm Robert. I was like, nice to meet you. I'm your new neighbor.
I like when he came over to meet the neighbor.
Yeah. Oh, you're new in the neighborhood?
Did he bring you Rug-a-Luck and wine?
Yeah, no, he gave me a promo card for his oysters. He sponsors oysters.
Oh.
He's like the best branding... He's a branding genius. And you know he made a lot of his money because of the M&M's. M&M's used the Naked Cowboy. They put an M&M in like his underwear with a thing, and they didn't license it. And they settled out of court, and he made a lot of money.
Oh, I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
So he's cool. He's like really smart when it comes to like branding. And mm-hmm. yeah, he has like, his name is like on wine and like oysters in Long Island. And you're like, what?
Like so, Naked Cowboy Wine?
Correct, yeah.
Naked Cowboy Oyster. Yes. No, Robert.
Yeah, Robert Vine, yeah. Robert Vineyard. Robert
I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Yeah. He just does the Naked Cowboy yeah, thing for fun.
Double life.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's my new neighbor. The Times Square Alliance, who runs Times Square.
And he's your director of marketing.
Correct. Yeah. Also, he's on brand. We're really on brand with him.
Yeah.
He should do a tour.
We might. It's not out of the realm of possibilities. So these kiosks started to pop up maybe 2 or 3 years ago, most of them for food.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The Snack Box, the Empanada Guy, Seba, which is dumplings. And I just thought, okay, I mean, obviously we're not food, but like maybe it's 60 square feet. Maybe one of those could be kind of how we could financially afford some sort of physical space.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I just kind of planted the seed. I would email Times Square Alliance every couple months. A couple of them came on my tours, and they were like, this is great. I don't think it's the right fit, but, you know, maybe one day. And so I just kept emailing, as I do. And then I was doing a production of Arsenic and Old Lace last year. And on closing night, I got an email.
Were you Mortimer?
I was Mortimer.
Nice.
Yeah, dead bodies and very Halloween themed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What a great... It was a blast. It was the first play I had done in 15 years.
Oh, wow.
I only do musicals, and I was like, yeah, I'd love to do a play. And it ends up being very musical-esque because you just are running around for 3 hours.
Yeah, I mean, it turns into an old, Moss Heart.
There's choreography, basically.
One person was like, so who choreographed? And I was like, that's what?
Yeah.
That's just me looking like an idiot. Yeah.
If you've never seen it, definitely check out the Cary Grant version of the movie. It's so good. Great.
Yeah. And fun fact, he hates his performance in that film. He came out and he said his face was too animated. Yeah.
Oh, to play with the straight man?
Yeah,
in that?
He was like, I don't do stuff like that. I hate my performance in that. Yeah.
So you were better than Cary Grant.
Well, yeah, that was a subtle, maybe not subtle. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I don't want to say I'm better than. Yes, I'm better.
So
than
it was closing night.
So closing night, and I get this email that says, "Hey, we're taking proposals for a new kiosk. Isn't that a thing you emailed us about? Submit a proposal." And so I got my graphic designer who is, he's my Tin Man from the last time I did Wizard of Oz.
Oh, the Naked Cowboy played the Tin Man,
yes,
too?
Yes, also right. Robert Mondavi as the Naked Cowboy, as the Tin Man, as Toto Carter Study. Yeah. And so I...
he swung Toto?
Yeah, Brandon. And so I got my graphic designer and was like, let's put together like this crazy proposal. This is my one chance to like get a physical storefront. Thankfully, they liked the proposal. That all worked out. And then they were like, okay, design it. It's yours. Figure it out. Of course, there's a financial relationship because it's Times Square. And then that all seemed to like make sense financially, but then to design it. And so I've never opened a brick and mortar store. Mm-hmm. I've worked retail, but I don't know how to own a retail store or design merchandise. And so I think originally we thought it would just be like a walk-up booth for information about our tours, and we had like a Broadway History Nerd t-shirt is like the one thing we sold. And then very quickly I was like, I think there has to be more to this. I think it has to be a different thing. And so we have turned it more into a gift shop, where some of the tours start there, some of the tours end there. Of course you can book tickets, you can get information about the tours, of course, is our main thing. But we essentially developed an entire line of merchandise that it's really tricky because how do you make merchandise for Broadway?
Yeah.
It can't be show specific.
Right.
You can't do I Heart New York. And so I created essentially this, what is now, as you mentioned, like a perfect Instagram moment, which is a 6 foot tall stack of marquee letters that spell out the word Broadway. And it was always intended to just be the perfect square Instagram photo. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, it's almost kind of like another logo for our company that we could use that as the launching point. So magnets, t-shirts, tote bags, keychains, enamel pins, buttons, you name it, we kind of have designed from that. And then it's an opportunity to develop really interesting, unique stuff for theater kids and theater
nerds.
That's
awesome.
And so it's kind of, you know, kind of blown out in a different direction than I think I initially intended. But I think like anything does, you kind of just have to roll with it and adapt. And anyone starting anything, I think, especially if you really, that's, you didn't go to school for that. I didn't go to school for business. And so 9 years ago when I started this company, it's like, I don't know how to do accounting. I don't know about taxes. I don't know about invoices, but mm-hmm. I'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then 9 years later, that I've figured all out. And so now it's like, well, who's to say I can't open a retail store in the middle of Times Square? It feels crazy, but fingers crossed it'll go well. So far, so good.
What are your cross streets again?
Oh, right now we're in between 43rd and 44th. Mm-hmm. We change, it seems like they change the plan every like 6 months to a year.
Okay.
So we originally were between 44th, 45th. They moved us. They literally come and forklift it in the middle of the night, and then you move and you show up and you're in a different spot. All the kiosks leave at New Year's, so like 5 days before New Year's.
They bring them somewhere?
I don't know where. Mm-hmm. They just said, we'll come and pick it up, and then like January 2nd, it'll be back.
And what are your hours?
Currently, we're 10:30 to 5. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to expand that a little bit to do 10:30 to 7 is once we get into the spring to kind of match TKTS's hours and get closer to show times.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. But this seems like a kind of safe start.
I will say your staff there was very knowledgeable. Great. He was very friendly. Great. He like came out and greeted us, mm-hmm. and then like we told him we'd just taking a tour, and he was just answering a lot of questions. He's really lovely, so it's a great thing to check out.
Yeah, it's, my philosophy is that I will only employ artists, and so that usually means actors.
Yeah,
stage
I saw Picasso
manager.
At the booth. It was crazy.
Yeah. Is he the one? He was missing an ear.
You don't know. Maybe Picasso got left out.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're left ear. Yeah, you're right. Doing the right. Yeah, and so
The two of them were doing sideshow at one point.
Yeah, yeah. So they were like, oh, no. And so. Yeah, so it's...
I don't need to hear you.
Sure.
Because you cut off the ear closest to the sibling.
Yeah, they didn't do an album on purpose.
Bitchy.
No in-ear monitors for that production. So with that philosophy, it started, of course, with just tour guides being performers or stage managers who are in the business. And then that now has kind of extended to the kiosk staff. And then down to my the person who runs my social media, the person who does my graphic design, all of them are artistic.
Your maid, living, your
my maid,
cook.
The woman who cleans my movie room. At my, I think they call it Airbnb. I just call it man. But yeah,
that's awesome.
And down to the maid. Yes.
So
what
good.
What tell us about your tours? You have a new tour.
Yeah.
You still have the Ghostlight tour, which I would highly suggest for the fall. It's spooky. Dookie.
Yeah.
Nope.
Spooky Dookie.
I
is not how we market it. That is not how Robert Mondavi has built it. But
super spooky.
I can't. Yeah. I was going to say something, but we're going to let that go.
It's creepy and it's kooky.
It's, that works. I like that.
It's altogether spooky.
Yeah, it's really, really fun.
Yeah,
it's that was our. Mm-hmm. We're just, I don't think we're still over Ookie Dookie or whatever. I think the thing about ghost tours and haunted tours are it becomes so much about the spooky aspect of it. And I think, because a lot of times we do these tours at like 11 a.m. and you're like, you're dealing with daytime, a morning commute of people around you. So there's not an element of dark and spooky and scary. So for me, the way in was always the history, was always like the details about these humans' lives, of who these people are, so that by the time you get to the punchline or the end of the story of the sighting, of the thing, you inadvertently have learned about the time period that they were living in and different aspects and got them.
Yeah.
and so it's, I think there's some reticence with some people with ghost tours, but we always kind of harp on, it's just like all our other tours. It's like you're going to learn 8,000 million things, but it's also going to have some like kind of ookie dookie.
Yeah, it's not like you're on like a hayride and something's going to jump out at
Correct.
You.
Yeah.
But it definitely like it has, like you said, that historical context that like you get that chilly kind of like, feeling because you hear a cool story, but you're also like, it's like a fun side story as well as it being
And
scary.
It makes you think. It makes you think like, what if... Like, there's
you
enough corroborated.
The
what if I haunted? there's enough corroborated stories that it really, I mean, you really, by the end, we just say, for, an hour and 45 minutes, don't be practical. Just kind of like go with it and sit in your, go on the ride with us. And then after the tour, you can talk about like a man with strings in the back or whatever. But for the most part, just go with it and take it at face value. And what if, all of this was real, which. you know, I try to make it as real and factual as possible.
And you were saying, I mean, your new tour, the Hudson tour, of the Hudson Theater, not of the river.
Correct.
I'm sure there are ghosts and bodies in there. But the Hudson Theater tour, even that has elements of kind of spooky nature to it, right?
Yeah, I think, so I'll be transparent and say that when I started the company, I thought, we'll have this really great idea, we'll partner with one of the big theater owners, and they'll definitely let us inside. Of course, that's no. I mean, it's naive and
we
it's
went
silly
into the lobby of Studio 54.
Yes,
so
there are yes.
You're
so some
getting
interior,
there.
Yeah, we're close.
Yeah.
So then, 9 years later, I approached the Ambassador Theatre Group, who is incredible. They own 48 theaters in the world. They started in London. They just renovated the Colonial in Boston, where Moulin Rouge reopened. Mm-hmm. That's them. They opened and renovated the King's Theatre in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And then they have two: the Lyric, where Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is, and then the Hudson. And so I approached them knowing that they have this kind of British kind of historical angle on life and theater.
Sure.
And so I thought maybe they'll be more receptive than the others who have said no. And they were. They were really receptive, and they came on a tour, and they were like, you know, weird things. We'd be interested to see, like, what weird things you can find out about our building.
New tagline, we know weird things.
We know weird things. Broadway
up close.
I'll run it past Robert. I don't know what it'll go for. We'll see. So it'll be our first fully interior tour. So the spooky element of it is, to me, it's kind of like sacred, less spooky, more sacred. But there is an element of... One, standing in any theater when there's no audience there, I think is, as a person in the industry, you kind of take that for granted when you're working on a show and you're in tech or you show up to your show early before your matinee and you're just warming up at an empty theater, whether it's Broadway, whether it's tour, wherever it is. There's an element of that kind of moment that you don't realize is kind of sacred to being in the industry.
Yeah, there's an energy almost captured in that space of someone who has laughed or cried in those seats that kind of gets trapped in
within
that
the walls.
From 100 years ago to the performance earlier that day.
Yeah, and you have the ghost light, you know, kind of just adds to that. And so to then now in a public setting, anyone, whenever they sign up for the three we offer a week, can have that same experience that we have is... It feels, to me, it's like a responsibility to kind of honor that that sacred moment and to make people understand, you know, kind of this is our lives. These are the moments we live for, is the sacred moments of an empty theater that maybe is haunted, maybe it isn't, but it certainly represents, like you say, all the things that have happened there, this theater specifically for 116 years.
Yeah. Cool.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, let's play a game.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Let's play a spooky dookie game.
I'd rather we didn't.
Okay. I'm talking about the Green Day album. I don't know if
there's a Green Day album called Spooky Dookie.
No, just Dookie.
It's called just Dookie?
Yeah.
Well, Dookie.
Oh, not just Dookie.
Well, then
just
it
Jack.
Exactly.
I have created a very shortened Broadway version of Clue for us to play.
I just played Clue for the first time in years, like 2 weekends ago.
I thought you were just stopping first time. Yeah.
Oh no, but we played. My grandma has.
It's not this.
Is it the thing in your hand?
Oh my God.
Kimberly just was holding her notebook and asked if her notebook was anywhere.
Also, has anyone seen my glasses?
Or my movie? They're
in the movie. We played on my grandma's 1976 version of the board.
Really?
It was like old and dusty and wonderful and was so spooky.
All still the same like characters?
Like Rachel
pieces? All the same characters.
Really?
It looked like Sorry pieces.
Yeah.
Do they still? I think so.
Oh, but but like the rooms looked like 70s furnished rooms.
Nice.
Like the images and stuff like that. It was great.
And this is also a PSA that if you have not seen the movie of Clue, you need to run out and see it right now. It is such a
Is it still
film.
On Amazon Prime or Netflix?
It is. It's on Amazon Prime for sure. I don't know if it's on Netflix, but it's definitely on Amazon
Prime.
Oh,
it's so
Prime.
Good. Tim Curry is a revelation in that film.
Let us in. Let us in.
Yeah.
Let us out. Let us out.
So I'm currently just staring at Kevin so that I am not looking at the things that I'm putting in the secret envelope.
Oh, okay,
okay.
Sure.
Oh, crazy.
Oh, right, because that's right, because you put the cards in there to know who...
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
And are the cards Squig Lights of Broadway
cards?
They
are Lights of Broadway cards.
Nice.
Cool.
Okay, now
what? Right, so what's happening is I'm giving everyone two Lights of Broadway show cards and two slips of paper that I made out of my mind.
I'm obsessed with my cards, by the way.
Amazing. So basically what we have are not the right answer. So I made five. I'm going to show you all of them, and I'm going to read them to the audience.
Okay.
Or maybe I should. Should we all know what we have?
No, you don't tell
anyone else.
But like know what all the possibilities
Yeah, you have to read everything out. Yeah, for sure.
I was on the subway with my friend from work really trying to remember how to play Clue.
I'm literally...
Brian is our expert right now.
I was like, can you do it without a board? And we were like, yeah, I think so. Let's go. This is how we're going to do it without a board.
Okay.
So it's a little more like Go Fish.
Okay.
Okay.
It's like Go Fish meets Guess Who.
Okay.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So basically... I'm going to read out all of our victims,
like guess fish.
Our suspects, our places where the murder may have occurred, and our weapons that would have happened.
Great.
So you all have one of each of these things.
Right.
And the correct answer, the actual murder, is in a folded piece of paper instead of an envelope.
Great.
And so basically one person gets to go around. We can ask... I don't know if you even need to ask questions.
So
you can basically say, I think it was so-and-so with so-and-so with so-and-so.
Okay.
And one person can kind of pipe up and go, no, and just sort of show that person what they have.
So Clue, it's the person to your left. So if Tim did it, it said, like, I suspect that it is blah, blah, blah. And then Kevin would be like, no, I have... this weapon, then we would all know that that weapon didn't do it.
Are we each supposed to have we each have a weapon,
a place, and two, you have a suspect and a victim. Cool. I'll tell you who is who.
So
what I will say is to do, instead of the person to your left, just pick someone like Go Fish. Just be like, Brian, I think it's this.
Cool.
Does that make sense? Continue your
It'll work.
You tell me how to play.
That'll work.
It'll work.
What else were you going to say?
Because then... Tim does his suggestion, but then he can make the choice to do an accusation. If he does an accusation, wants to pull what's real. If he is wrong, he is out.
I see. So you because pick a thing at a time, not a whole thing.
No, he could say, "I think it was in the
so-and-so with
theater.
The thing in the thing."
How is that different from the first thing you did?
Because if you're just making it like a suggestion of what you think it is
to a person, to not a person, to the not to secret the,
I'm
envelope.
Making an accusation in the game.
Like I see. Yeah. So like, and letter instead of
solution.
Solving the puzzle.
Like I have a solution or something.
Yeah.
So
I
see, typically,
I
what
so you're just make yes.
So in the Clue game, this is great because it makes it less hard, so it won't take as long. Mm-hmm. But in the Clue game, you would actually mix up all the cards.
Yeah.
So Tim could have all the all the weapons, and he needs to work harder to find everything else out.
Yeah.
Like, so this is going to take a lot shorter, which is totally
that
fine.
Was the idea.
Yeah.
Okay, that was on purpose.
Yes. Definitely on purpose.
So what we're going to do is Go Fish rules. You can pick someone to say your suspicion to them.
Mm-hmm.
They can tell you if they think you are wrong or right, and then we will go this way.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's clockwise.
We're with you.
Yeah.
Clockwise.
I think it's easier to just move my hand.
No, that's great.
You can definitely
it's
all
good
see
podcasting.
That.
and then if you want to make an accusation,
Tim does mining tours. It's really great.
Yeah,
shall we go through
Let's
who everyone has?
Yes.
And I'll leave this down here
so everyone
can
see it.
Sure.
Except for Brian. He has the need to.
Yeah.
Our victim options today are Jackie Hoffman, Kiala Settle, Caitlin Kinnunen, Carolee Carmello, or Patrick Page.
Nice.
Yep.
Our suspects, Alice Ripley, Elaine Stritch, Bob Fosse, Pasek and Paul, Gwen Verdon.
Nice.
Cool.
The places where the murder could have occurred.
Nice.
The Belasco.
Yeah.
The New Amsterdam.
Yeah.
The Hudson.
Shout out, Hudson up close tour.
The Marquis or the Nederlander.
Nice.
The weapon that could have done it.
Yeah.
A spotlight.
Oh.
A trapdoor.
Sure.
The Phantom Chandelier.
Ooh.
Poisoned prop alcohol.
Really?
Or the King Kong puppet.
Okay.
Tim's responses to each of the things you read was my new favorite thing.
It's very exciting.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Really? All right, we'll start with Kevin.
Unexpected.
I start?
Yeah, because I like saying Kevin's
okay.
Yep.
Kimberly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Jackie Hoffman was killed by Bob Fosse.
And just remember that everyone can kind of see the back of your show cards.
Right?
Oh, good call.
With?
In the?
Oh, in the New Amsterdam. With a trap door.
Wait, say it all again?
I think Keala Settle was killed by Bob Fosse in the New Amsterdam with a trap door.
You might be right.
Oh, okay.
Tim.
Yes.
I think Carolee Carmello was killed.
Okay.
Oh, no.
By Alice Ripley.
Oh, no.
With, in the Belasco, with the spotlight.
I'm not going to refute any of that.
Okay.
So now it's my turn.
Yes.
Okay.
So now you, in theory, could say, then I want to guess. And if you guessed, because in theory, I don't have any of those, so then you could say, you're going to just go for it.
Yes.
And then if you're wrong, you're out.
It's because one of them, those two might have all the things. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Kimberly.
Because I haven't played Clues. That was 12. Okay.
That's great.
But we're making clues.
Mm-hmm.
Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. I think, Kevin.
Yes.
That Pasek and Paul killed Jackie Hoffman in the Hudson with a trapdoor.
Gentlemen, hide your eyes. Something's not right there.
Okay. Do I try again?
No.
Okay.
Now it's Timbo's turn.
Okay, so I think...
Oh, but you don't tell everyone.
Right. I mean, you could change the rules so that this moves faster.
I was just going to say that Kevin could tell everyone.
Yeah.
It was not in the Hudson.
Great.
Hudson up close to it. Okay, so I think... I think Caitlin Kinnunen, who I love. Shout out to Caitlin. Hi, Caitlin. I think Caitlin Kinnunen was killed by... Alice Ripley in the Marquee Theater, poisoned prop alcohol.
Who are you asking?
Oh, who am I asking? You.
Okay.
Kevin. For those who don't know who A you are.
Alice Ripley is not a murderer.
Okay. All right.
That's good to know in general.
I mean, yes.
Yeah. Even now, I'm just like, well, we should just all ask Kevin.
I know, right?
Okay, so I'm going to make an accusation because I feel strong with my first guess.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that, what did I say?
I don't know.
I said that Jackie Hoffman was killed by Bob Fosse in the New Amsterdam with a trapdoor. So that's what I'm going to look.
So you are looking at this.
Yes,
If you're wrong, you're out.
Totes.
However,
that'd be a secret.
You can't say. People can still ask you about your hand.
Correct.
Okay, but don't tell us what you see unless it is correct.
Correct.
And don't look.
I just won this game.
No.
With your first guess?
No.
Jackie Hoffman was killed by Bob Fosse with... Oh, God, that's wrong.
Yeah, I was like, I was like, you're wrong. Well,
that's been clue.
Well, game's over.
I saw the end and was like, I won! But I didn't win.
I was like, that's absolutely wrong. I have a New Amsterdam.
Yeah, I have the trap door.
Oh, both of those things were wrong.
Yeah.
And this is why it's called Broadway. Wow.
I'm sorry.
And that has been Spooky Dookie.
That was definitely Dookie right there.
That
I'm
game
sorry.
Really held promise.
Honestly, I was really enjoying that a lot.
I'm sorry.
We can reshuffle.
I like half
You might
one.
Have to make that into an actual game. We'll sell it at the kiosk.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I can come by for trivia nights.
Wow.
I'm sorry, guys.
No, it's okay. Wow. Wait, remind us where your kiosk is right now.
43rd, between 43rd and 44th, right in Times Square.
But it's not in
Tuesdays in the Corner with Kevin.
It's Kevin's Corner. I'm sorry.
Hi, Tim. So, hi. Welcome.
It was in the kiosk with the corner.
Welcome to Kevin's Corner.
I should have put the kiosk as an option.
Yeah, well.
Well, I didn't
they don't
want to,
like, market that people were murdered there.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, true.
That's true. Spooky dookie.
Spooky dookie.
So, Tim, welcome to Kevin's Corner.
Thank you.
I don't think this segment existed when you were last on.
I'm sure
so
I don't
fun.
Remember.
I asked some crazy questions.
Mm-hmm. Wait, can we take a step back?
Kevin.
That's still one of the funniest things that's happened on this podcast.
That I was wrong about what I was right about.
You were like, just going to make a guess. I killed it. Wait, that's wrong. That's, I was like, no, abort. The utter confidence. The sheer confidence.
I did it. Yeah, can you believe that?
Yeah, I got it.
Balls to the wall.
I said Niederlander, right? Did I say?
It had an egg. But Trackdoor does not look like poison prop alcohol. Okay, so I'll try to redeem myself with Kevin's Corner, which is where I ask highly researched questions. And so I thought, because today you are a tour guide,
mm-hmm.
and I'm assuming you get asked all manners of ridiculous questions.
Correct.
So I have Googled some of the most ridiculous questions someone has ever been asked.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you those.
Okay.
So we're going to go through
are
a list
all
of...
all from inside the actor studio?
No, they are from a random website that was called crazyquestions.com.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you some of these questions. I had to filter some of them because, oh God, I didn't want to ask you them.
Right,
but here are
you.
Some that I am going to ask you.
All right.
And I would like you to give me... I would like you to give me the most serious answer you can possibly give.
Okay.
Question one.
Yeah.
If corn oil is made from corn and vegetable oil is made from vegetables, what is baby oil made from?
Oil. I mean, I think that's pretty easy. babies? I don't know. For lack of a better creative answer, I'm going to say, as a tour guide, sometimes we don't know the answers, but we'll often give an educated guess. And in that one, I feel educated enough to say the skin of babies.
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah. The next question is, why is an alarm clock said to be going off when it actually turns on?
Well, I think this is actually something that dates back to the early 1900s, and it's similar to a theater reference where when you signed in, when your alarm went off to sign in for work, that would go on instead of off. Does that answer your...
Yes.
Okay, good.
Sort of. why is it that to stop Windows 98, you have to click on start?
Wow. That's...
That's quite a
in
reference.
In a moment, if I... On tours, we often get questions like this, and I would say, well, I'm a Mac guy, so...
there you go. That's a good question.
That's outside of my realm of experience at Broadway Up Close.
And this is a question that actually can refer to stuff that we do here on the show. Why is it, Tim, that lemon juice is made with artificial flavor and dishwashing liquid is made with real lemons?
Wow.
Where are you getting your lemon juice, Kevin?
Yeah.
Where they're getting it. I don't care.
I have no idea, but it does make me think of my favorite musical in my life that was, the theme was lemons. And so very often on a tour, if I don't know the answer, I deflect by bringing up something that really doesn't make any sense.
Just be like, right, and then move on.
And then you've talked so much that they're like, oh, okay, thank you so much. And you're like, does that answer your question? No? All right. Across the street in 1904. So I have no idea, but I love that musical, Jonathan Groff's Broadway debut.
Amen.
The Music Box Theater.
I handed a sample CD on the street.
Five songs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
If money doesn't grow on trees, then why do banks have branches?
That's a really great question. If money, I don't know. Every once in a while, you would stump a tour guide, and I think that would be the moment I'd say, I don't know.
Okay. I'll take that.
All right.
What's the meaning of life?
Meaning of life. Wow.
42.
This is... meaning of life. Meaning of life. That's I don't think that's a whole different tour. I think that we could do a whole tour.
That doesn't happen in the right. theater district.
No, yeah, yeah, no, we've often questioned our. You'll see actors question that. That is, like I said, an entirely different tour. Wow.
Why do it's kids learn math when they could just use calculators like the grown-ups?
These are real questions that have been asked in what context?
I have no idea.
Not tours.
Probably not in tours.
Okay, God, please.
Oh, the calculator factory in Texas? They have instruments there.
Texas, sure. I'm sure I don't remember the question. What was the question?
Why do kids learn math when they could just use calculators like the grown-ups?
Like the grown-ups?
Yeah, this is the grown-ups.
I would say, like, you have to learn math in order to, like, buy the calculator and know how much change you're going to get back. So you should know math to get the calculator.
That's smart. That's a really good answer. I don't know. Okay.
Good answer.
I have two more. Why do most cars have speedometers that go up to at least 130 miles per hour when you legally can't go that fast on any road?
Well, I think that... Well, the origin of cars, really, it's more for the testing of the cars. It's on the track. You want to test that nothing would happen over a certain speed if someone, God forbid, was driving over the speed limit.
This is great. You're doing a great job.
You did a really
good
job.
Do you do this professionally?
Yeah, I'm a licensed tour guide.
Okay. Why is it when you're driving around and looking for an address, you always turn down the volume on the radio?
Do you?
What? Haven't you ever been with somebody in the car when they do that? You're like, I have to figure out where we're going, and they either turn off or turn down the radio.
Yeah, I do that.
Why do people do that?
Well, I think it's like, static in your brain, less noise, less brain confusion. That one seems pretty like...
Just to focus?
Yeah, focus on the task at hand, which isn't...
Because if you're playing the Dookie album by Green Day...
Sure, Just Dookie or...
I love that album. Just Dookie.
Just Dookie.
And...
okay, there's another...
Yes.
You promised there was only two more, and this is a third more.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
This is a
this
two-parter.
This is Kevin's Corner.
I thought you said that, too.
What?
This is Kevin's Corner. You don't know what's going to happen.
I won the last game. Give me a minute.
That's a tour guide. That's a tour guide trick. That when people are like, I'm only going to ask the years a couple times. And you're like, okay, well, you've hit your quota. What year was that? No, you've already asked that. So let's say 1920s. What does it matter to you?
My last question is.
Yep, tell me.
If the number two pencil is the most popular, why is it still number two?
I think that number two is the name of the company. The number two, it doesn't have to do with the grade of the pencil or the rating of the pencil. It was number two, I think, based outside of Houston, I think, was the number two pencil company.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Next to the calculator factory.
Yeah, next to Bic.
Yeah.
And you did pretty well, and I'm sure you've had some crazier questions, so that's been Kevin's Corner.
Hey. I loved it.
Well, what are some of the craziest questions you've gotten while...
So the best tour that seems to lead to the craziest questions is what we call the Hamill Tour, the tour where it happened.
Sure.
And so it's all downtown. It's in the footsteps of Alexander Hamilton, and then we tell all the stories that connect to the musical, and then I had some loved ones in the original cast, so then we tell, like, the making of the musical stories. So there's where George Washington was sworn in as the President of the United States is this ridiculously large statue. And we go and we stand by it, and we talk about it, and I had one dad. It was like the full group. There was a couple families, a couple one-off people, public tour. And this dad, he like didn't ask like any dad questions the whole time. No dad jokes, no like just, you know, he's just on the tour. And for whatever reason, this moment, he was like, I think we're all wondering, he was about that tall? And the statue is like 12 and a half feet tall. And I was like, no. He was 6 feet tall for the time, but not 12 and a half. Oh, okay. Yeah, I think we were all wondering that. And his whole family just looked at him, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And so I just said, oh, you're good. I won't tell anyone. And so now every tour, you're probably wondering, if you're like the guy who came on my tour 4 months ago, was George Washington that tall? He wasn't.
And then I had one woman.
So we work with... the Hamilton Tour, for whatever reason, whether it's money, the theme is money, I don't know. But we get a lot of millionaires, billionaires who come on this tour who are very wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
And they always book private tours. And we love them because they just have a different perspective on money and a different perspective on life. Yeah. And
They have movie rooms.
And they have movie rooms right. and maids and the whole thing. Yeah. So we have a lot in common. so I remember I was given this one tour and... the guy, we got to the New York Stock Exchange, and I said, okay, so the New York Stock Exchange, 1903, let's look at a picture. You can see in 116 years it hasn't really changed much. And he was like, oh, yeah, when I rang the bell, yeah, you're right. The inside was just like that. I was like, what? You were inside? He was like, yeah, I rang the bell. And I was like, me too. And this is so weird the way I haven't met before this. Yeah. But his wife, the whole time, you know, just, you know, really wealthy people. And the wife, the whole time, she kind of just looked through me.
Mm-hmm.
Where you, the whole time, you're just, like, so self-conscious because you're like, she's like, I don't know if she hated it. And they had just seen the show, and it was, like, very fresh in their mind. And she didn't really say it. You just felt judged, the like, an hour in. I was like, oh, she's hating this. And I know, you know, I know the material so well that all you're doing the whole time is, like, are they liking it? Are they liking me? Mm-hmm. Are they having a good time? They didn't laugh at that joke. Maybe it was my delivery. And all of this is going through your head, like a one-man show. And we got to the Mariah Reynolds scandal. Spoiler alert. There's this Act Two moment of the scandal and this whole thing. And for whatever reason, she got, like, she had all these questions about it. It was the first time she was, like, really animated. And she was like, oh, yeah, I guess. Okay, so that was here. All right. I guess then on the heels of that, how did he die?
And I just said, seen the show.
Hamilton? Yeah, how did he die? I was like, but in a duel. What? I said, in a duel by Aaron, he was shot by Aaron Burr in a duel. That's real? And I was like, yes. She was like, oh God, of course that's real. I'm so sorry. Sorry, I just got kind of flustered by the story before.
She thought it was like a fantasia on his life.
And I was like, it was so uncomfortable because like I had been judged for like the first hour and then like this is what she comes out with. And I was like, and her husband was like, I'm so sorry about her. And I was like, no, it's fine. It's just like, I thought she was joking. Is she not? You're not joking. In a duel. That's real. What?
And your tip like, was their Hawaii home.
Yeah, correct.
That's correct. All three Scream movies.
So it's you just like moments where you're, you know. And then one boy, I'll finish with this. One boy, it was the first tour we ever did downtown. We were in Trinity Church, and every gravestone says, you know, the McGregor vault, the Dolan vault, you know. Mm-hmm. And this little boy.
Your family's there.
Name dropping. Yeah, Trinity Church is for the wealthy families. pre-movie room. That was the next generation of Dolans. And I remember this kid, he was like, okay, so like the vault here, what would be in this one? And I was like, well, like, what do you mean? He was like the family jewels or like all their money. And I was like, oh no. Like the McGregor, the family, their bones.
They're in there.
Vault is less like a safe, more like a place where they put all the bones.
Oh.
And it was like he had just never thought of the word vault.
Like a crypt.
I mean, a lot of the restaurants down there like are old vaults, so he may have just like eaten there.
Yeah, he was like, you know, the old vaults. they have great burgers. Yeah. Like, well, this one's the actual McGregor family. Also known for their burgers.
Don't
they were a little different. And I just remember his parents being like, oh, we're so sorry about that. We haven't really. He's third grade, and you're like, well, yeah, I know. I don't know what.
He's a child. I understand.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, great question.
At 3 years old, like, I may have thought that way too.
And what like an insight?
Third grade.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Were you three and third?
You know what? Yeah. I'm going to forgive you. Because
Kevin ruined Clue. Let's move on.
I ruined Clue.
My first word at the age of three was vault.
Yes. Yeah, I watched DuckTales.
So,
yeah.
So weird, but funny, and like, it makes you look at that, you see the world in that kid's eyes.
Yeah.
And you're like, that kid is like figuring out the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just was part of that, you know?
Yeah, and now whenever he thinks about cemeteries, he goes, that's where they keep the bones.
Yeah, and he goes BroadwayUpClose.com. And then the naked cowboys in the cemetery strumming. No, okay.
One last question for everybody.
Yeah.
Because this is a Halloween episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's spooky dookie. What is a moment or show that was one of the spookiest things you've seen on stage?
Spookiest?
Or like very affecting in a scary way.
Mine's really easy, just because I've spent the last 6 months in this building. The Hudson Theater, when they did 1984,
did you see it?
No.
Visceral and crazy. The end of the show, kind of, it's, you know, kind of government is watching and everyone's watching you mm-hmm. and you're under this microscope and the whole show is crazy. But the final scene, the entire set kind of fades away. The walls fly out. And you're looking basically at the bare 1903 Hudson stage, the walls and the whole thing. And this guy, basically the final scene is he's tortured and he's in this chair and they're like snapping off toenails and there's like teeth being cracked and there's blood squirting everywhere and saws. And I mean, it was like one of the most kind of like real, I don't love torture. I don't like I can't watch the movie Saw. I mean, my reaction was like cringy and whatever. But I was like, there were reports, people fainting, people throwing up.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, yeah. Like, you know, all the time it was, the people's reactions to that was so horrific and sure. so whatever. So that for me is very easy. 1984.
Kimberly, Kevin?
I don't know that I have chosen to see many scary plays.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Plays are...
But even in musicals, there are plays any scary. Spooky, like, I don't know.
What spooky musical so, have okay. you seen?
No, it doesn't have to be... The whole thing doesn't have to be spooky. It could just be like that one scene, a moment yeah. or mm-hmm. something.
I will say that I just got to see the most recent... it's playing now, The Sound Inside with Mary Louise Parker.
Ooh, yeah. Sure.
You love and, that, right?
Oh my God. It was possibly like my favorite play I've ever seen on stage.
Wow. Really?
And it creates... attention that's not like scary like ghost spooky mm-hmm. but it is like very unsettling to the point that like as you're watching this like intense scene between Mary Louise Parker and the young guy who's incredible that's playing with her in the mm-hmm. show, you're not sure like she could have killed him, he could have killed her, like something insane could have happened. You could hear like it's like, and he's telling her this story of a novel he wrote, and like as he's telling the story, like the main character is his name. Hmm. And it's like a very unsettling story, and you're like just that whole like you could hear a pin drop in the theater.
Sure.
And it was so like I had like my goosebumps and everything, and I think yeah. that just created such a viscerally like creepy moment that I will never forget that.
Maybe the end of The Ferryman.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy. A great...
Crazy. Those last and 2 minutes were... just a jump scare you weren't expecting.
Yeah. But you also just didn't know how it was going to end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the tension of, like, we've spent 4 hours in this theater. Where's this going in the last 2 minutes?
And then that's such a
good answer.
Good answer.
Good answer.
I do also have a stupid answer.
Okay. Yeah,
let's see. Or a more fun answer. Because when you first said that, my initial reaction went back to my first reaction when I... was in like fourth grade, and we went to Animal Kingdom and we saw the like It's a Bug's Life show
mm-hmm.
in the tree. And there were like, there were like bugs that like, it's the one of those 3D Disney shows. But it was 4D, Bug Life 4D.
Oh God, were that bugs, they made you feel like bugs
crawling
on you?
It made me feel like bugs were crawling on you, and I really hated it, and I was 10 years old, and I was just like, I hated every minute of that, and you were like, what was the creepiest thing you've ever heard?
That's good.
And literally my body went, no.
Yeah.
And I could feel
spooky dookie.
Like where the chairs point the bugs at you.
What about you, Bri?
I think it's, so I really like, and I like those tension moments that you mentioned, mm-hmm. like any Martin McDonagh play that you see,
yeah.
or like even like, separate from that, like The Seafarer or mm-hmm. something like that. But the, like The Pillow Man
yeah.
was just an incredible experience.
People it's talk about
one
it.
One of the best things I've yeah. ever seen. Just
so that was the Bradley Cooper one.
Mm-mm. No, that's the Elephant Man.
Elephant Man,
Pillow Man.
Same
on
theater, right? Theater, the booth.
Okay.
On Broadway, it was Goldblum as well as
Jeff
Goldblum.
Me, my friend Jeff.
Jeff. Oh yeah,
Jeff was in that. I forgot.
You guys know
that.
Jeff.
Billy Crudup.
I'm obsessed.
And then what's his name? Evan Zlanko or whatever. He's in everything.
Evan.
But Evan Hansen, and it was. Spectacular. I'm just like lots of tension there. But
yeah.
That's so good. Speaking of your tours, I did see the Crucible revival.
Yeah. I love that, right?
Which they talked about on our tour.
Yeah. With the elements and
I saw
the wolves
the
and
first
the...
preview.
You did?
Yes.
And how'd it go?
It was very long. But also the entire time I was like, I'm very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's on purpose and I don't know if I like it.
Yeah, sure. Totally.
Oh, there are different shows that like just make you feel uncomfortable the whole way through on purpose.
Oh yeah. What was that thing?
What thing?
What about Lieutenant
I almost called
Inishmore?
It In Transit, but it was...
no, maybe not that.
Train Spotting.
Oh, the Train Spotting interactive.
It was like In Transit was not going for...
they were not trying to creep you out.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Inishmore.
Wasn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That was
again, Martin McDonagh.
Yeah. That I just remember the scene where it's like... One, she shoots the guy in the chair and the blood explodes.
The blood everywhere.
But then the one scene, it's like the lights go out and then you hear kind of like scurry, scurry, scurry. And then like 30 seconds later, the lights come up and the entire stage is full of entrails and blood.
Mm.
That still was one of the most visceral, craziest things I've ever seen in my life.
From,
the Lieutenant of Inishmore.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it went pitch black, like no exit signs, like
pitch black. Oh, no.
And you're like... Was that supposed to happen? And then it comes out. It's crazy. It was crazy.
Oh. I'm also going to throw out the View Upstairs, the Max Verney musical.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
The way that it was done.
Oh, the way they did the fire.
What happened in the actual real story was that they were trapped inside and couldn't get out, and the building caught on fire.
Oh,
and
that
they,
actually
and they,
really
like,
was upsetting.
Were burned alive inside. And so what they did in the theater experience was you felt like you were a patron in the room. And so at the end of the play, when they get caught in the fire, they had like... some kind of effect that made it seem like
all the heaters went on.
And then there was like the semblance of artistic flames like by like the windows that you could see near the exits. So you like it made it feel as if you were trapped in there as well. And obviously not enough that anyone was gonna freak out. It was artistic.
Right.
Everything, but it was enough
but
of
it
a
really
feeling
added something.
And the way that the actors were freaking out on stage, like so like with such reality, it was just like this is unsettling.
But also any show that has a gunshot off stage, like people are just like talking and like someone had exited like two lines before.
Oh, yeah.
And then like, spoiler alerts, so turn this off if you don't. Like, All My Sons and The Seagull. Mm-hmm. And anywhere where like the suicide happens off stage.
Or Miss Saigon.
When
no, she's there. She pulls the curtain.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But like all that kind of stuff where like,
obviously the
That's always,
Yeah.
No, but
that's always startling and like.
Yeah. Yeah.
When the girl as the bullet comes out, that's terrifying.
Wait, and also like, just the one scene where you actually meet King Kong in King Kong.
Oh, that was so good when she was hanging.
Really with the teeth.
When she was like hanging in the air.
The sound design.
The sound design was incredible for that.
But that brings us to the end of our episode. Tell us where we can find all of the Broadway Up Close stuff.
Yeah, so everything's on our website, BroadwayUpClose.com. Our new tour is called Hudson Up Close, behind the scenes of Broadway's oldest theater. Of course, we have our Ghostlight Tour. It's Halloween themed. We have a couple extra, we add a couple extra tour times during Halloween at night.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Do it at night.
At night, and the iPad glows, and it's very cool and very spooky.
Awesome.
And then, of course, all
I think you
tours,
mean Spooky Dookie.
Spooky Dookie. It's very Spooky Dookie. Registered trademark. I'll talk to Robert. And then, of course, all our other tours and then our kiosk, our physical footprint, as we call it, 43rd, 44th, front of Good Morning America in Times Square.
That's awesome. And what was the social media again to follow you?
At Broadway Up Close is Instagram. At Broadway Up Close is our Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
TripAdvisor is how we thrive. So if you came on a tour, leave a review. And then BroadwayUpClose.com.
Also, if you book a tour, let them know that you heard about it on Broadway.
Please. There will be a little, every person that books a tour, it'll say, how did you hear about us? And there's a little, you can check box other, and then you can pop in and write. Yeah, we've had, from the first episode, we had a handful of people who came.
That's great.
Linda Lee.
Hi, Linda.
Shout out to Linda Lee. She's coming back. She'll be here, I think, next week. She'll be back on our sidewalks again.
Oh, that's
and
great.
She said, I heard about you on this thing called Broadwasted. I was like, I'm familiar. and so, so it's so if you're listening.
It's an awesome companion piece to your week in New York City of seeing shows, trying restaurants and stuff.
Yeah. Or just a fun Sunday when you live here.
The tour we took, there was a couple from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
There were some there were people from all over the world. And it was a really cool thing because as you're walking, you talk to the people on the tour. And like, so you're talking to people from around the world. Like, that's such a cool experience here in New York
City.
And
you see the Applebee's where Ethel Merman was discovered.
and
your tour guides are artists, as you mentioned, so not only are you getting insight into the history, but, like, you know, our tour guide, who was wonderful,
she's in Wicked, because I went and saw Wicked this past Sunday, and I was looking for her in the program. I was like, I know her.
Me and Jenny, we go way back Sunday.
Exactly.
We spent two beautiful hours together.
We had brunch on Sunday without food and mostly walking. It was really awesome.
We're really close. So.
But you can follow us at Broadwasted.
Hey, that's us.
You can find us, join our Facebook group. Kevin runs that.
I do. It's awesome.
And let us know. it is. It's great.
I never make mistakes on there.
let us know the spooky dookiest thing you saw on a show.
Yeah.
Also you can you can find us on things like Spotify. You can find us on the Broadway Podcast Network. But go to iTunes. You can find us there. Rate and review us.
Please.
Five stars, please.
please.
Yeah, thank you.
That really helps everyone find us. But we end every episode with a quote.
We do?
Oh, yeah.
And today it's, I'm not a killer. I'm an S-Mart employee. And to kill a coworker is against company policy. Evil Dead, I'm not a killer.
Nice. Oh.
Hmm. But thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me back.
Happy Halloween.
Thank you.
Happy Halloween.
Find their kiosk. Say hello to whomever is there. Take a tour. Again, Broadway up close.
What's your favorite costume you ever did?
Favorite what?
Costume you ever did for Halloween.
Oh, gosh. You're going to hate this answer.
I already hate it.
I'm an actor. We dress up all the time, so I don't dress up for Halloween.
Ever?
If I do, even if I have to like go to a party, I wear a lot of flannel, so I'm a lumberjack every time. I have like literally one prop axe in my apartment that's like just in case I have to go to a party.
I got overalls for a very similar reason because I just go as Lenny from Of Mice and Men. So I have a little rabbit that I like put red marker on it, so it's like
You're
I killed
kidding.
It.
No.
So I walk around with an
You're
overall.
Kidding.
No, it's the Original best Halloween
Mice
costume.
Mice and Men or Revival.
I'm going for the book Mice and Men.
What everyone imagined in their mind.
Exactly. Yeah. It was me.
Wow.
With a dead player rabbit.
Deep.
With big eyes.
Yeah. But as we end every episode,
Zoo-doo-wop-bop. Cheers.
That was spooky.
Thank you. Yeah. Dookie.
That was terrible.
Spooky dookie.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.